Good morning. I invite your attention to Psalm number 66, the 66th Psalm. My text will be found in verse number 16. And my message is titled, A Spiritual History of Jehovah's Saints. Or if you will, this is our autobiography. My text reads, Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Sometime or other, someone's going to ask you, what has your God ever done for you? And when you are asked, I hope you can say, I'm so glad you asked. I can tell you what he has done for me. And I will gladly tell you what he has done for me. Now we are here in the congregation of fellow saints, brothers and sisters. So I'm going to say, come and hear all ye that fear God. That should be just about all of you. Come and hear all ye that reverence God, worship him. And I will tell you, declare what he hath done for my soul. When I have done so, you undoubtedly will say, Moose, he did the same thing for me. And that's true. That's true. The circumstances, physically speaking, of our salvation will differ. The Lord saved me, converted me in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Most of you probably have never been there. And the Lord converted you or saved you, perhaps, here in Montana. Different place, different dates, different preachers, different circumstance. But with regard to what God has done spiritually for you, it is the same as it is done, as he has done for me. This is a spiritual autobiography of what God has done for my soul. Now, this is the fourth message in this series. On previous occasions when I was here, we dealt with the first three parts of this message, and we'll conclude the series today, God willing. We introduced the subject in the first message, and we considered what I did not do for my soul. Nothing I ever did for my soul was good. Everything I ever did for my soul was bad. That's why I'm going to tell you what God has done for my soul. Come, all ye that fear God, let me tell you what he has done for my soul. Our God is one God in three persons. The triune God. A holy trinity. And each person in this holy trinity is involved in our salvation. Briefly speaking, we may say that our salvation is of God the Father with regard to its origination. Our salvation is of God the Son with regard to its acquisition. And third, our salvation is of God the Spirit with regard to its application. So, in its origination, acquisition, and application, our salvation is of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. With regard to the work of God the Father, most everything He did for our soul was done before the foundation of the world, in old eternity, before He created the heavens and the earth. And there, in the hall of His eternal counsel, God the Father did that which would result in our salvation. Briefly speaking, God the Father foreknew me, loved me, purposed my salvation, predestined the way I would be saved, chose me to salvation, and highly favored me to be eternally joined to Christ. So what God the Father did in the origination of salvation was done before the foundation of the world. What God the Son did for my salvation in its acquisition was done about 2,000 years ago in the days of His incarnation. The days of His incarnation commenced with the day of His birth. They ended with the day of His death on this earth. 33.5 years. Jesus Christ walked upon this earth doing that which would obtain my salvation for me. Now, almost that whole time He was fulfilling God's law, He had to work out a perfect righteousness. And He did so for 33.5 years, from the day of His birth until the day of His death. But almost all that Jesus Christ did in acquiring my salvation, in obtaining it for me, was done in a 3-hour span on the day of His death, from high noon until 3 p.m. And there, on that cross, at high noon, God pulled a veil over the sun, and it did not shine. He plunged the world into outer darkness, as it were. A darkness like that of Egypt. A darkness that could be felt. And there from high noon until 3 p.m., a holy transaction was done that no man was to see. It was a transaction between God the Father and God the Son in order that the Son might obtain my salvation for me. And there, in those 3 hours, from high noon until 3 p.m., Jesus Christ suffered the wrath that all God's elect deserved. Had it not been for the divine nature in His human body, God's wrath would have consumed Him. Our brother read this morning, "Our God is a consuming fire," in the Epistle to the Hebrews. Were it not for the fact of the divine nature and the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, He also would have been consumed during those 3 hours. But for 3 hours, He bore the wrath of God that God's elect deserve. All the hell, all the damnation that God's elect deserve, He suffered it in 3 hours there on that cross until He shouted in glorious victory, "It is finished." We might argue those are the 3 most important words in all God's Word. It is finished. And it was. And it was. He had performed what He came to do. He had acquired the salvation of every one of God's elect. And in so doing so, He saved me, redeemed me, justified me, sanctified me, perfected me, cleansed me, healed me, remitted my sins, and He reconciled me unto God. 2,000 years ago. Well, that was 2,000 years before I was born. And I was born dead in sins and in trespasses, conceived in sin, shapen in iniquity. I departed my mother's womb speaking lies. And the older I became, the better liar I became. And I practiced it diligently. Until one day, Spirit of God said, "You've sinned long enough." And the Spirit of God did something for me. God the Father had originated my salvation with an eternal decree. God the Son, 2,000 years ago, fulfilled the decree and acquired my salvation. And on the 17th of June in the year of our Lord, 1975, the Spirit of God arrested me while I was sitting in a church pew, as I recall, second pew back on about the end. He arrested me that night, and he took everything that Jesus Christ had done for me and applied it to me. God the Father originated my salvation before the foundation of the world. God the Son acquired my salvation 2,000 years ago on Calvary. God the Spirit applied my salvation on the day that I was born again. Ah, now that brings me now to the work of God the Spirit in salvation. What does He do? Well, the first that He would do would be He regenerated me. He regenerated me. What is it to be regenerated? Born again. Born anew. Born of God. Born of the Spirit. Born from heaven. Born again. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit alone. It is absolutely necessary that one be born again. As Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then he said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Therefore, you must be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. And you cannot enter God's kingdom until you've seen it. And therefore, you're born again so that you may see the kingdom and then enter into it. It is absolutely necessary. No one can either see or enter God's kingdom apart from being born again. I was born again through being born of God. No one else was involved. I was born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. John chapter 1. For example, contrary to some, I do not say I was born again through baptism. Some say so. Not me. I was born of God. I was not born in the baptistry. I was born of God. Furthermore, I was not born again by believing the gospel. That point is important. Grasp it. Life precedes faith. Remember those three words. Life precedes faith. You cannot believe the gospel until, first of all, you have been born again. You agree with me, brother? All right. I saw his approval. Life precedes faith. Faith evidences life. One must be born again in order to even believe the gospel. I was born of God through being born of the Spirit. Now that's interesting because in John's Gospel chapter 1, we're born of God. But Jesus in John 3 said, you must be born of the Spirit. Well, now, which is it? Are we born of God or are we born of the Spirit? Yeah. No. Which is it? Are we born of God or are we born of the Spirit? Yes. Both. We are born of God through being born of the Spirit. When we're born of the Spirit, we are born of God. To be born of God is to be born of the Spirit. Therefore, the new birth is a spiritual birth. My first birth was a natural birth through natural means with natural parents. My new birth, my regeneration, done of the Spirit, and it is completely a spiritual birth. Now, he performs this work through the preaching of the gospel. Through the preaching of the gospel. Greatest illustration of this probably is going to be found in Ezekiel chapter 37, where the prophet Ezekiel is taken by God and placed in a valley full of dry bones. Evidently, a battle had been fought. And the dead had been left in the field, and nothing left now but bones. And the bones now have become separated one from another. It's just a whole valley full of dry bones. That's all it is. And the Lord says to Ezekiel, preach! Do what? Preach! Okay, preach to whom? Preach to the dry bones. Now, Lord, you sent me to prophesy to your people, but you have never asked me to preach to dry bones before. Preach! Okay. And Ezekiel begins to preach. And as he begins to preach, dry bones begin getting up. And there's an upper leg bone and a lower leg bone, and they join themselves together. And toe bones over yonder, feet bones over here, they come together. And bit by bit, a skeleton is scattered across the field, and the bones come back together like they were before the man died. And as Ezekiel preaches, you can imagine that, you know, he is awestruck what's going on. And he's preaching. Well, folks, you do not need much more encouragement to keep on preaching than to see what's going on as you are preaching. And Ezekiel keeps on preaching and bones begin coming together. And then sinews begin to come on them, skin. And pretty soon there's a whole army standing right there before Ezekiel. And all he did was preach. That's all he did. Just preached. And now there's a whole army standing before him. A valley of dry bones had now become a valley of living beings. Marvel of marvels, wonder of wonders. How did that happen, Ezekiel? I have no idea. All I did was preach. And the Spirit of God began to do this work. Well, that's what happens when I preach. When every other preacher preaches. We preach to dead people. Dead in trespasses and in sins. And through through some work beyond my ability, beyond my comprehension, what happens? Dead sinners come to life. They're born again. Born again to the Spirit of God. I was begotten through the gospel, 1 Corinthians 4:15. I was born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the Word of God which lives and abides forever, 1 Peter 1:23. Of His own will God brought me forth by the Word of truth, James 1:18. Jehovah's Word has given me life, Psalm 119, verse 50. How was I born again? The baptistry had nothing to do with it. No other person had anything to do with it. It was done through the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's why I tell people who tell me they are concerned for their souls, are you really concerned for your soul? If you are, the best thing you can do for your soul is to sit under the sound of a gospel preacher, because that's the way God regenerates dead sinners. I was born again at the time of my conversion. So grasp these two terms. Regeneration, conversion. I've heard debates as to which comes first, regeneration or conversion. And I must confess, I'm not smart enough to participate in that debate. But I will tell you this, regeneration and conversion are, as it were, two sides of the same coin. You cannot have regeneration without conversion. You cannot have conversion without regeneration. At the time of my conversion, I was regenerated. And at the time of my regeneration, I was converted. And both works through God. And I cannot tell you how it occurred. I do not know. That, it took me completely by surprise. Because when the Lord saved me, I was a Sovereign Grace Baptist preacher. I repeat, I was a Sovereign Grace Baptist preacher when the Lord saved me. And I was as lost as I could be. Lost as I could be. I walked into a church building that night, convinced that I was a Christian. Within a few minutes, I was convinced I was on my way to hell. In a few minutes, I felt the condemnation of God upon me. In a few minutes, I realized I was the worst sinner in the place. And I have no idea how it happened, except that it did happen. Jesus said, being born again is like the wind. You can feel it. You cannot see it, but you can feel it. You can tell which way it's blowing. But tell me this, where did it come from? Well, it came from the south. Yeah, but where in the south? Where did the wind start? I have no idea. Where will the wind stop? Pinpoint the place. I can't do that. Well, that's the way it is with being born again. It is mysterious. It is beyond my comprehension. I cannot tell you how I was born again, but I can tell you it happened. It happened. It is beyond my comprehension. I still cannot explain it, but I rejoice in it. My spiritual birth was somewhat like my physical birth. I was born on the 1st of December, 1948. I do not recall a single second of the event. I was there. I don't know anything that happened except what my mother told me. I did not choose when I would be born. I did not choose how I would be born. I did not choose where I would be born. And so it was with my new birth. I did not choose where I would be regenerated. I did not choose how I would be regenerated. I did not choose when I would be regenerated. It just happened. It just happened. I was there. But I cannot tell you much about it. But this I know. I was dead in trespasses and sins. But I have been quickened, regenerated, and born again. I have eternal life. I will never, ever perish. Never, ever perish. Accordingly, I want you to grasp three things about this new birth. The ground of regeneration is God's grace. My works had nothing to do with it. The agent in regeneration is God's Spirit. No mortal regenerates. And the instrument in regeneration is God's Word and His Gospel. No ritual can do this work. Now, that's the biggest part of my message for today. Briefly, I'm going to give you just a few more points, just briefly. And you will find them enumerated in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 to 11, where we read, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Now notice, three works by the Spirit of our God. You were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified by the Spirit of our God. The Holy Spirit did this. Now, we can deal with these rather briefly. The Holy Spirit washed me. You were washed by the Spirit of our God. Jesus said, you must be born of water and the Spirit. Water and the Spirit. They are inseparable in this work of regeneration. Paul the Apostle expands upon this when he tells saints that God saved them through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. When I was renewed, there was a washing that took place, a cleansing that took place. God fulfilled the prophecy that I will sprinkle clean water on you and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Ezekiel chapter 36. Therefore, when I was born again, I was bathed. I was washed. I was cleansed. I was purified by the Spirit of God through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Then third, the Holy Spirit sanctified me in that same text. The Holy Spirit sanctified me, but you were sanctified by the Spirit of our God. Now, all three persons are involved in the sanctification of a sinner. All three persons, the Holy Trinity. God the Father sanctified me from eternity. He decreed that I be holy. He decreed that I be separated from the world and consecrated to Himself. Now God the Son sanctified me on Calvary. By His death, I was separated from the world and consecrated unto God. And God the Spirit sanctified me in my regeneration. He sanctified me by giving to me a new nature. Peter tells us we have become partakers of the divine nature. You ever considered that? When Jesus Christ became God manifested in the flesh, He who was of the divine nature took on our human nature. So that in His one person, there is the divine nature inherently His, and the human nature which He assumed. Now, when the Holy Spirit regenerates sinners, He takes people with the human nature and puts the divine nature in them. We have become partakers of the divine nature. Read Paul in the 7th chapter of his epistle to the Romans, and he talks about, you know, the things I should do are the things I don't want to do. And the things I should not do, there are the things that I want to do. And it feels like there's a warfare going on within me at all times. Well, there's a good reason for that. There is in me two natures, a human nature that can do nothing but sin, and the divine nature that cannot sin. And they're both within me. And they struggle. They struggle with each other in their fight against me, seeking mastery over me. But this divine nature that has been given to me by the Holy Spirit when He sanctified me. We consequently read, whoever has been born of God, that is regenerated, does not sin. For God's seed remains in him. And he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Now, does that mean he'll never commit a single sin? No, that's not what it means. It means this. If you have been born of God, sin is not the manner of your life as it was before the Lord saved you. Sin is not the tenor of your life. You will run from sin as fast as you can. You will run to righteousness as fast as you can. That's because you've been born of God. Then fourth, the Holy Spirit justified me. You were justified by the Spirit of our God. Now, once again, all three persons in the Holy Trinity are involved in this justification. God the Father justified me from eternity when He decreed I would be righteous. Yes, that is eternal justification. Before the foundation of the world, He chose me to be without blame. Righteous. I was accepted in Christ as righteous, therefore justified. Now, God the Son, 2,000 years ago, He justified me on Calvary by removing my sins from me and declaring me to be just. And I received the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. That's what He does. He imputes the righteousness of Jesus Christ to God's sinners so that, as I described a moment ago, I walked into a church building on that night, lost as I could be, unrighteous, And yet there I received the righteousness of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit applying it unto me. Walked into that building an unrighteous man. Walked out as righteous as Jesus Christ because He is my righteousness. And I have become the righteousness of God in Him. Last point, number 5. He did something else for me. Now the Spirit of God regenerated me, and the Spirit of God washed me, and the Spirit of God justified me, and the Spirit of God sanctified me. He did something else. One last thing. He sealed me. In Christ you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of your inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. 2 Corinthians 1:22 and chapter 5, verse 5. I was sealed. I was sealed. What does it mean to be sealed? It means I'm safe. I'm safe. God has put His seal on me. And it is indelible, unerasable, uncorruptible, uneroding. I'm sealed. I'm sealed. There's an inheritance over yonder in heaven's glory just awaiting for me. An inheritance. God's kingdom. I'm going to inherit it. Along with Jesus Christ. He's inherited all things. I'm a joint heir with Him. It's there. But preacher, you just might lose your salvation before you get there. No, I can't. I can't. Why? I'm sealed. The Holy Spirit has sealed me. It is as good as though to say signed, sealed, and delivered. Because that inheritance is already mine. I'm sealed. I have the Holy Spirit, and He's the guarantee of the possession. I know that possession is mine. The Holy Spirit is in me, and He has sealed me unto it. Well, that's the story of my salvation. Come all ye that fear God. Let me tell you what He has done for my soul. That's what He's done. Now it took me 4 messages to do it. But, but that's it. That's it. It's kind of hard to get all of this into one message. But we did it in 4. And what He did for me is the same as what He did for every one of God's children. Therefore, if anyone should ever ask you, what has your God ever done for you? I hope you can say, I'm so glad you asked. I can tell you what my God has done for me. Come and hear. I'll tell you. I'll tell you. And if there be one here today who has never trusted Jesus Christ, I pray that this might be the day when God reveals to you that He did something for you before the foundation of the world. And God the Son did something for you 2,000 years ago on Calvary. And I pray that He might do the same thing for you in the regeneration of your soul as you sit here this morning. This is such a glorious truth. Many people would say, let me tell you what I have done for God. We do not talk that way, folks. That is not the language of heaven. We do not brag about what we have done for the Lord. They that do so, Jesus said, He'll say, I never knew you, depart. But some of us are going to stand before God on that final day of judgment, and we're going to thank Him for what He did for our souls. I hope you're one of them. Oh God, our Father, to the glory of Your name, to the honor of Your Son, Jesus Christ, bless, we pray, this word, this message. Bless our worship of Your Son this day. We pray that our hymns have been acceptable to You. Our praise has honored You. We pray that this message has magnified You and exalted Your Son through the power of Your Spirit. Receive our thanksgiving for all these blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.